Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth, coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries here in Altoona, Pennsylvania. This is Brother Fawn Miller, speaker on the broadcast, director of Way of Truth Ministries, and delighted that you've taken the time to tune our way. And we're going to share a few things about our recent trip into West Africa. Then we're going to get into the Word of God, and we're going to be looking. Our text has been Ephesians 2:10, but we're going to talk about the heart that God uses, the individual whom God can work through and accomplish the task that he has set before us. And I hope it'll be a blessing to your heart. And we'll be going back to Philippians 3:10 and, of course, Ephesians 2:8 through 10. Was where we launched out from, and now 3:10 is where we were at there out of the book of Philippians when we closed the program last week. But let's look to the Lord in prayer, and I'm so glad that you've taken the time to tune our way. Have your Bibles open, maybe some paper there to write on, and we'll have a good time in the Word of God. Father, I want to thank you for each of these precious folk who are listening. Lord, we just are so glad. We know that there are some listening today over in Liberia, where we're able to go out over a city of 500,000 people, and they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask you to bless Brother Demi and this team that he has there working with him, and pray that you will bless abundantly, giving them many souls for their hair. We think of the other stations that we're privileged to be on, and we ask as well for them that you would bless abundantly and open up the way so that precious souls will come to know thee, whom to know aright is life eternal. Now bless as we study the Word of God. We want to share some things that will help each one grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And if there's some listening that are not saved, maybe the hour, the moment, the day, they come to know thee, whom to know aright is life eternal. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to just share just a little bit, and then we'll have a song. We had the privilege of being over in Togo, and we have a dear pastor there who's been our director for many years now, Brother Moali Blue, and his assistant is Brother Kofi, and they both have churches there. And then, of course, they're supporting men. They have men out of their church starting churches in various places, and we're just excited about the way these men have determined to not only reach people for Christ, disciple them through a Bible institute that they've conducted. And, of course, in Togo, it is French-speaking. So when we take material over, they really have to translate it into French. And I just taught over there for, how do you like this? You have an interpreter who will teach with you for 7 hours. That's what I had. And I had a couple of interpreters. We had 5 hours in the day, 3 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, and 2 at night, and had just a tremendous time studying the Word of God. And we did the book of Ephesians and worked on that, and we talked about the dispensations and covenants and so forth, helping them hopefully to be able to more effectively study the Word of God. But what a blessing to see people who were just hungry for the Word of God. They don't have all the conveniences we have. They're limited in what they have. They're they're building a church. They've already have the building up, but they've outgrown that building, so now they're adding on to it, and certainly need funds for that. And what is so exciting every time I go over and when I talk to these men is the fact that they're never satisfied. What do I mean? I mean they see more people that need to be saved. They'll tell you right from their heart, I must reach these people. These are my people. They need to hear the gospel. And they're burdened about their people, and where there's villages that do not have a sound gospel witness, they want to see one started. And they've started churches all throughout Togo. Togo's a very narrow country. If you look on the map, it's there in West Africa, that there lump part of Africa that comes out into the Atlantic. And it's right next to Ghana and right alongside of Benin. And then Nigeria is right over from that. But very simply, there are so many villages there. And I mean, the traveling that they must do, the rough roads, it's just unbelievable. I mean, it just beats the living daylights out of somebody. I'm serious. You feel like you've just been whooped real hard when you go out to these different villages. But you go out there and look at the joy on the people's faces who have trusted Christ as their Savior. They don't have the things that we would think make you happy, because things don't make you happy. They had the joy of the Lord. You remember that song we used to sing as kids? The joy of the Lord is our strength. We don't sing that too much anymore. We'll sing it more often because it's true. The joy of the Lord is really our strength. The joy of the Lord is what will take you through the battles, the trials, the testings that are before you. I think of our ministries, and I did not have the privilege of being over in Orissa. We were going to try it, but there was, the persecution was heavy, and our missionary felt best that with all the travel that would be required and the problems that are there, best that I didn't go over this last time when I was over in India. I would have loved to. I would love to have been there. But very simply, these men go out and hazard their lives, knowing that there are those forces there that would certainly be anti-Christian and anti the Christians, and yet they'll go and they'll start works. And that's what's going on in Togo. They do have the influence of Islam. They have the influence of animism and so forth. But those people are working and doing a job for the Lord. Would you pray for our missionaries there in Togo? There are seven pastors over there, actually from two pastors that were our missionaries, and they went out, trained their own people, and now they're the five others who are pastoring, who are part of our mission family. And certainly all of them could use some good support. And the Lord will lay that on your heart. You write and say, missionaries in Togo, and we'll make sure it gets divided out to those pastors and as they seek to reach their own people with the gospel of Christ. Well, we're going to listen to a song, and we're going to get into Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 and continue on with our thought, the heart that God can use.
Cheer the heart like Jesus by his presence all divine, true and tender, pure and precious. Oh, how blessed to call him mine. Love of Christ so freely. God beyond degree, mercy higher than the heavens, deeper than the deepest sea.
that thrills my soul is Jesus. You know, that's an old song, but boy, what a message that has. Now, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, we read this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Now, we talked about that on last week's broadcast, and I'm not going to go back over that except to say that the Apostle Paul wanted to know intimately the relationship of service with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ went through all these things. Yeah, certainly he was a perfect example. But he went through these things as the Son of God to pay the price for your sin and mine. But Paul said there's an example there that I want to emulate. I want to be like that. And what he's saying is, you know, if I'm going to go through that, I may know the power of his resurrection, that means you're going to die. Well, you know, that's exactly what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then it says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's pretty much what is said right here in verse 10 of chapter 3 of Philippians. Paul is saying, listen, when you became a sacrifice, that means you ended your life. When you took that lamb and you placed that lamb on the altar, having slain that lamb, shedding that lamb's blood, that lamb no longer had any life in it. It had given itself over for the sacrifice. Well, that's the kind of life Paul is talking about. If he's going to know the power of the resurrection, he had to die. And he was not talking about physical death, but die spiritually. In other words, die to myself. Die to all those desires that I have, so that I might know the power of Christ's resurrection. Christ went to that cross to pay the price for our sin. He who knew no sin became sin. We might become the righteousness of God in him. He who was rich became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. That's what Paul is talking about. And so why did he hazard his life and all those missionary journeys and went through all that suffering that you read in 2 Corinthians 11. Why did he do that? Because he had committed himself to Christ to know the power of the resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know the intimacy of Christ with me when I'm going through these valleys. Now, that's the heart that God can use. When we get to the end of ourselves and not think we have to have some kind of a show or some kind of I want to be seen. Paul didn't care about being seen. What he cared about was that Christ would be exalted. Christ would be lifted up. That I may know him and then his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. He wasn't saying, I want to get away from the suffering. I want to know the fellowship of Christ in my suffering. You know, I've met some folk like that. I really have. And would to God that that were my testimony if I have to go through some real trials and testings and sufferings, is to say that I want to have experienced that fellowship of suffering. You see, Christ was in all points tested like we are, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, yet without sin. So Christ knows exactly what you're going through, my friend. There's no blind spot. He knows exactly what you're faced with, whether it be the problems at work where you're trying to have a testimony for the Lord and the pressures against you there, whether you're in school or college or wherever, and people are making fun of you because you're standing for Christ. Paul said, I want to know his fellowship then. Maybe you're going through a sickness. Just talk with a dear man of ours, one of our missionaries, Brother Milt Lamberson, who's gone through cancer. And praise the Lord, it's in remission. And they tell him now, by probably no more than 5% chance of it ever coming back. but he had to go through a terrible amount of pain, and he still has a lot of pain in his legs, and they can't track that down. But just to know the fellowship of Christ's suffering in the midst of his suffering. He had a good testimony. We were talking, and it's just a joy to talk to people like that. They've gone through it. They're faced with it, and they want to be made conformable to his death. And being made conformable means I'm not going to gripe and grumble about what the situation is. Because the Bible says when Christ went to that cross, he opened not his mouth. He brought no railing accusation against the people, but on that cross he could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, recently it was my privilege to speak to a number of military people over in Ghana, and I talked about the character of an individual. I said, let me share the character of Jesus Christ. And I shared with them the fact that on that cross, he did not rail at the people who had crucified him there, and it was our sins that nailed him to that cross. Yes, Roman soldiers did the pounding of the nails, but it was our sins that was putting him there. The religious leaders said, crucify him, and it was their sin that was putting him on that cross. But I said, the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, one, he did not bring a railing accusation and make some kind of a comment against the people that had done all this to him. Number two, on that cross, he looked over at the one thief who said, Lord, be merciful to me. This day, he says, shalt thou be with me in paradise. And then the compassion of our blessed Lord, as he looked down from that cross and saw John and his mother Mary, and he said, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. And committed Mary to John. You see, that's character. That's a kind of a flawless character that the Lord had. Now, you and I don't have a flawless character, but we can develop a character of that nature. Now, let's look how that happens. Let's look how that happens. And I'll tell you, there's just so many things here that we could run with. But I want you to go back with me for a moment. I want you to go back to Psalms chapter 90. Psalms chapter 90. And we're going to look at verse 12. And we're looking how we can get to that place. He says here in verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now notice what the psalmist is saying, and where it's attributed to the prayer of Moses. And he says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. There is the key for you and I. To apply our hearts under wisdom. We can put our hearts in a lot of different things, accumulating things, or have that next new thing, or have whatever. But Moses is praying, and the psalmist is saying, let us apply our hearts to wisdom. Teach us to number our days. In other words, we're not supposed to go out here and then cross off in the calendar, well, that's one less day, one less day. No, it has nothing to do with counting the days. But it's realize that there is coming a day when my eyes are and my heart's going to stop beating, my mind's going to stop thinking, and I am going to pass off of this old earth and I'll be in the presence of the Lord. Now, what's he say in verse, go back here to verse 10 from verse 12 in Psalms 90, and here's what he says, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength, they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. In other words, our life, even at 80 years or more, is but a fleeting moment in God's economy. In fact, if you go back to verse 4 of this chapter, you read this, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. So with God, 1,000 years doesn't accumulate many days. No, he says 1,000 years is but a day in God's sight. And then he said, teach us to number our days. See, we're not going to be here that long. If you make it 100 years, you know, that's just 0.1, so that's not too long, is it? Well, the object here, the thought here behind these particular three verses is that realizing that we are on a limited schedule. We're here for a limited short time. Then we need to apply our hearts unto wisdom, the wisdom of the Lord. That's what Proverbs is all about. Proverbs is probably, well, in fact, not probably, it is the greatest book for leadership that you can read. The greatest book. Because it teaches you there how to apply your heart to the things that matter, to the things that are important. And so it is if we're going to be used of God, we're going to have to evaluate exactly what it is that God wants to do in our lives and how we can conform to his image. Go back with me to Proverbs and chapter 4. Proverbs in chapter 4, and we're going to look at a couple of verses. We're looking at how we can put into our lives these qualities so God can use us. Beloved, that's all God wants to use you and me in his service. And it doesn't matter in what capacity, whether we have a limelight or have nothing. It's a fact that God wants to put us in his service to glorify him. Notice what it says in Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Now, this is Solomon writing to his sons. And he says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. You see, out of the heart, in fact, we're told this in the book of Matthew, in chapter 12, verse 34, 15, verse 18, and 19, that it's out of the heart are the issues of life. Out of the heart proceed the wickedness or proceed righteousness. You see, it comes from our heart. And so Solomon is telling his boys, put these things to work in your life. He gives them instruction so that they are going to have the right kind of character. And this is the character that Solomon had in the beginning of his days. Ecclesiastes shows what happened at the end of his days. Tragedy. But here is the fact. He should have maintained this. He said, give attention to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart out of thine eyes or from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Harbor those things. Harbor those truths. Harbor those facts that account for everyday life. And then verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. The word diligence is kind of thought of as a careful search. It was Jude who said, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you. And then he goes on and talks about the ungodliness, the mystery of iniquity, the wickedness that's going on in society. He says, more needful, I tell you about that. But he made a diligent effort to write about salvation. He really analyzed it and evaluated it and then came to the conclusion, you know, I'm writing to people who are saved. They don't need to be told they need to be saved again. They need to be told of what's coming down the pike. Paul told Timothy in both 1st and 2nd Timothy that he was to teach the word. Why? Because there were going to be those coming on the scene, false teachers or false workers, and they needed to be able to expose them. When you go to the book of Revelation, you read chapter 2 and 3 about the churches, but in particular chapter 2, and you look at Ephesus, they had a diligent search. They would weed out those who were false teachers and false prophets and so forth. Unfortunately, they did it because it was the thing to do, not because they loved the Lord and the purity of his word. So many times we can get on to the letter of the law rather than the heart of it. Well, Solomon is saying, hey, this is what you've got to do. And so let us really be careful to understand this, that we need to apply our hearts to the truth of the Word of God and the truth of Christian principles and live in such a way that we will glorify the Lord. That is the message that Paul tried to get across to the Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 10 is trying to get across to you and me. Now, we're going to go back to another portion of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We won't have time to develop this. We're just going to introduce it, and we will deal with it on the next broadcast. But we're talking about the heart that God can use. And it's rather interesting that verse 17, where it appears, and we're going to explain that a little bit, we use it with the fact of when salvation comes, we're changed. And I'll let you think about that, but then take time to read this portion of Scripture from verses 14 to the end and see what he's talking about in this matter of a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Our Father, take the Word of God and work in the lives and hearts of each individual. Save precious souls. Encourage Christians to keep on keeping on for Thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friend, if we might be of help to you, you can contact us via the email, and that it would be at WOT@WOTBM.org, or you can write to us at Message of Truth, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania. That's Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602, USA. God bless you, my friend. It was a delight to share the Word of God with you today.